Good evening to each one. Greet you all in Jesus' name. It was a blessing to be here. There for a while this evening, sitting in the parking lot. I don't know if anybody's going to show up. And, well, we're glad that those who have come out to look into God's Word and to be encouraged and hopefully strengthened this evening. I appreciated that children's lesson. I think it's something that we as adults have to take to our heart as well. And thinking of the subject tonight, bonding hearts and family communication, this is something that needs to be very dear to each one of us. And this subject is very broad. I think we could have probably every winter Bible school evening topic on this subject. Because it's so vital, it's so important that we have these good relationships in our homes. Stan said, made a statement there, right there in the outstart. There's a lot of this stuff that, I don't have it word for word, but we do it subconsciously. We do it, these things without thinking. For instance, when we think of communication, we think of oftentimes we're the words we speak and how we speak. But we also do it with our body language, how we present ourselves. And if these little children up on the front bench here, if somebody went like this to them, they would have got the message or something. There's a no-no. It's that you're communicating. And we do a good job of this. We will communicate something, whether it's good or bad. And like I said, this lasts for generations. It affects not only our life, but the life of our children. All we need to do is look around us and see the confusion that's in the world, the turmoil, the hatred. And then you look at the broken homes these people came from and the abusive situations and the single home parents. And we wonder why. It's easily explainable that, you know what, it's not what God designed. It's not like these people are totally responsible for the circumstances, but the choices they make, it just leads, it builds off one off another. Like I said, these homes communicate a message as well, these broken homes. They cause much pain to the world around them. We're living in a day when we have more opportunity than ever to communicate. We have the ability to be in contact with many people almost in a moment. But how much bonding communication is happening in our homes? Are we building Christian values? Are there traits of transparency, kindness, and compassion evident and felt in our everyday life? It's easy to send a message to somebody and it was the right word, but how did it seems cold, but as we express words on everyday level, how do they come across to the ones that are closest to us? Are the communication skills that I'm doing, is it drawing people closer to me? Or is it distancing others from myself? I believe this is a quick gauge of how we are, how we find our friendships and our relationships. Do people like to be around, and do they feel the warmness that's coming from your life? What are my goals? What are my dreams? Where are my desires? Don't we share those with the ones that are closest to us? I think we all have these dreams and friendships that we share some of this with, but they also need to be shared with our home, with those that are close to us in our homes. If we're looking elsewhere, if we think it's somewhere else that it's more important, we're communicating something to our children that, you know what, there is something, Dad has something else that's beyond us. Looking here at bonding hearts and family communication. A like we said earlier, so much gets communicated almost unbeknownst to us. The other week, I was driving down the road, and a car cut me off, and I spoke to the car. I have a little 5-year-old. A couple days later, his brother did something that cut him off, and he called a name, or he spoke to his brother. Mom heard. Mom said, "Hey, don't say that." What did the youngster say? Well, he said, "Dad did." So I communicated something. And that might be a little amusing. It was nothing that was, it was just off the wall, a name. But yet something was taught. Something was communicated that a frustration can be expressed and it's all right here, but not here. I'm glad my wife and I had a strong bond that I didn't get the same punishment he would have, but I spared him one. But that's still the point I'm trying to make. We communicate, and the little ones become recipients of sometimes our stress, our frustrations. But we do well to walk carefully. The text that came with this verse was one that was wrote by the wisest man. And I think it's a verse that takes us back to value close relationships early in life, to build on a strong foundation. It's Proverbs 5, verse 18. It says, "Rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Many things we do in life begin so small. And I believe Solomon here realized that what he had, the wisest man, what he had in his later years wasn't what was best for him. And he was saying, to the men, go back to when your home started. How was it? It began such a small thing. We call it love. And it began to grow. And it was one of our utmost desires to be with her. We admired her personality and her abilities. And we spent our precious money for stuff. But it was all part of a bonding, all part of building a relationship. It was something that we wanted. Then we become married, and we have our own home. And these two individuals have lots of love for each other, and lots of dreams, and lots of high goals. And that's wonderful. But fast forward that 5 years, 10 years. Brendan talked about our youth, or when we were younger. Now we're almost married 20 years. And when you think of communicating, in those 20 years, what got communicated? Many homes don't last 5 years if you go into our local communities. Most homes don't last 5 years because there are unmet expectations. There's some disappointments. There's a few poor choices. There's some unexpected changes. And with time, there's always seems to be more responsibility. This is real life. And as this young couple, goes through life, these things bring on more challenges, more responsibilities, more avenues to communicate, and we learn to know each other better. And there's children now. And we're responsible for them. What am I doing to bond with them? Am I allowing these few little statements to drive us apart, to frustrate us, to put strains in a relationship? This happens in many homes. But this is what we're trying to spare ourselves from. And what gets communicated in these moments at times can last a lifetime. The pain can run deep. And I believe that's why this topic is so important. Bonding hearts and family communication. That's why the text verse reminds us to look back. Just remember. Think where we once were. The commitments we made, the vows we said, all has a reflection on this subject here tonight. Am I just as passionate today as I was 15 years ago? Am I as loving and kind? How willing am I, or how much effort am I putting forth to communicate? You know, some people, when they get frustrated, they just talk a lot. And some people, when they get frustrated, they tend to clam up. I know which bracket I fall in. One is as bad as the other. But we got to be able to put effort forth to keep these avenues open. Just because we came from a strong home or there was lots of good communication in home is not a guarantee that you will automatically have that in your home. Or just because you came from a home life that maybe wasn't the most ideal communication doesn't mean that your home is doomed. These both take work. It is my responsibility to keep good communication in my home. I can't expect my wife to do that. It's my responsibility. We all need to take it personally. And that's the same for you. Most of us have been taught from the Bible, from these little benches, like these little children. We were taught from the Bible from childhood on up. And we have this dialogue, all this knowledge of how we are to live. Right now we're looking in the Sunday school lesson in the book of Ephesians. And there's practical Christian living there, how we ought to live. In chapter 5, it talks about husband and wife relationships. And in chapter 6, about children obeying and honoring and respecting their parents. We know that. Every one of us knows that. But how am I putting that to practice? We're going to let you discuss the book of Ephesians in Sunday school. We'll keep moving on. We're not going to read those verses. But all these teachings and lessons that I know the book of Ephesians often refer to the church. But I believe as we look at those, we can take the teaching that were for the church, we can apply them to our home life. And I believe home life comes before church life. One speaker once said, give me a strong home, we'll have strong church. Because after all, the church is made out of homes. And that's where I believe the rubber meets the road in so many of these subjects. It's in our homes. Have you ever found it's easier to communicate nice to and have a nice personality to the person you only meet a few times a month? Or someone you didn't see for a while and you see them, you can have maybe a little bit of frustration that day, and when you see them, it's like a light switch turned on and you're someone totally different than you were 15 minutes prior. Do you know what that's like? I know what that's like. And I'm not saying you're supposed to meet a stranger or someone you haven't seen for a while and be all doggy about life and you say, what's wrong with you? But we can't be that switch who's constantly, as our children observe this and see this, they need to see consistency in how we're responding to the pressures and stresses of life. Because after all, they're going to pattern their life off of me, off of us as a parent. And I believe, like I said earlier, so often we fail to really see how serious this affects our children. The verses I was going to look at is Stan read tonight in Philippians 2. You can turn to Philippians 2. It don't hurt to read the same verses over again. These verses stood out to me as I thought of this subject on the importance of family communication and how the church has so many parallels. We're going to read 4 verses. We're going to read the first 4 just like Stan did. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, Fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. These verses are real beautiful. They're easy to recite, but they take extreme amount of energy and effort to live within those four verses. It's going to take humility. It's going to take love. It's going to take meekness, unselfishness. And there's no timeline. This is a continuation throughout all life. Just because our expectations weren't met, or because there's disappointments, we can't start weeding part of these phrases out of the Bible. This is a continuation through all life. And as we live this, we communicate a very important lesson to our children of what life is really about. If we can't do it with those we live with, how in the world will we ever do it with those without? Like I said, here's humility, meekness, unselfishness. We're also familiar with the opposite. We talked about what's happening in the communities and the worlds around us. And we also have this little thing called the carnal nature inside of every one of us. I don't care if you're young or old. There's a nature inside of you that wants to do the opposite of what's here. In our own strength, we'll not be able to accomplish this. The world says, be somebody. The world says, just do it. No one needs to know. The world says, they'll get over it. Give them some space. It also says, that's mine. I worked for it. If any of these four statements are in my heart, I might not express it verbally, but if it's in my heart, it will destroy the bonding effect I'm trying to attain with my children. These attitudes here stand in contrast to the verses we read. These verses are warming. When you think of bowels of mercy, when you think of joyfulness and like-minded and same love and one accord, and it says no strife, esteeming others, we all like when it comes this way. But what's important is what comes out of this heart. How's it going this way? How's it flowing from my life? I believe when we exercise three simple steps here, or maybe four, thinking of unselfishness, but when we exercise three little steps in our homes, we will have bonding communication. Our homes will be different than the world around us. And I think all three of these are found in verse 2 that we'd like to look at. If you want to communicate bonding communication, it talks about in like-mindedness. In our thoughts. I can go back 20 years. 20 years ago, we thought a lot alike. And I'm sure you could put a date in your time. There was a lot of like-mindedness. We had the same goals, a lot of the same desires. And if they were different, made sure we aligned them different just to be together. Like-mindedness. So our thoughts, are they attempting to unify? Or am I trying to put someone through the strainer? Or am I trying to set something up to make it come my way? Or can we talk about it, that we can be unified in our thoughts so we can move on? Because we know this old saying, thoughts lead to actions. And if we're not unified in our homes, and we're not unified, if we're not unified there, how can we express to the world around us that we have something that they need? I see also in verse 2, in interests, being of the same love, Do you talk your interests, the things you're interested in, how you, the project you do as a family? Because we know that interests lead, create dreams. We all, as you get older, you don't consider it too, probably too much dreaming. But I think of working with our children and helping them develop, you help live, see life through their eyes. You're trying to help understand their thoughts, and you get down on their level, and you connect with them on their with their interests, and that creates dreams. And you, as parents, have such an important role in connecting with that, and also in verse 2 it talks about in one accord. And I looked at that as in aims and purposes. What kind of goal are we trying to attain? Stan brought that out. As far as comparing, what are we comparing our life to? Is it all the stuff that's out there? Do I have that kind of drive as a father? Do I see things as important to me? Or do I see my home life, my family as the most important? It's this little thing that will go throughout time and affect many people. What is my goal? Am I connecting? Am I communicating with my family in those three areas? I also see in these verses, thinking of those three, in our thoughts, in our interests, in our aims, there's transparency. And transparency is only available if we're humble. Did you as a dad or mom have to ever say you're sorry? Can we allow our children to really see the core of our heart? Are we transparent with what's in there? When we're humble, we can be. The world wants to say, we looked at them few things that the world wants us to do. It says, no one needs to know. They don't need to know how I felt, or they don't need to know that I made a mistake. No, we got to be transparent. With meekness, we see kindness there when we think of meekness. In verse 1, it spoke about that. With bowels of mercy, and also in lowliness of mind, esteeming others. Is that what my life is communicating? When I do those things with my children, we will have that bonding effect. It will draw us closer. When we do hurt, when we say unkind words or are short, they won't just get over it. But as we are transparent with our heart, our life, and we're meek and humble, and we ask for forgiveness, we express that you won't just get over it. I'll help you get over it. With unselfishness, there's that compassion. We think of unselfishness as someone who's willing giving up what was rightfully theirs for the benefit of others. When you see a need and you're moved with compassion, that's what Jesus did. There's many times when he's seen a multitude or people, the Bible says that he had compassion on them. He didn't say, no, it's my time. I spent 6 days this week already working with these people. Today's my day. That's what the world wants to tell us. That's what our carnal nature wants to tell us at times. It's my time. And when we take that opportunity or let our carnality have that way, we will communicate that to our children. And it will be destructive. So how am I communicating with my wife and children? How are you? Are we helping them build off of Christian values? Are the traits of transparency, kindness, and compassion evident? Do your friends at church, your classmates, do they see these tenets or this nature in your children? I take that as a challenge as a dad. Because I know we all know that children are developing, they're growing. But we as parents, need to put our best foot forward to help them in conquering some of these born-in personalities. Like I said, we talk about expressions and actions, how these things will convey a message. With how I've communicated this past year, am I closer to my children? Are you closer to your family? Or is people seemingly distant? So often when you see children shrinking back from authority and any authority, oftentimes it's not only because of something they did. Sometimes it's a scar from what an authority in their life has done. And we need to walk close to them in those times. And if we're the one that did the wrong, we better make it right. So what are my thoughts? They will be expressed. They will become actions. When I was thinking of this subject about bonding hearts, bonding has a thing of tying, joining together in a friendship. The past years the children and I like to tinker with some wood. We just have a little shed there. We enjoy making wooden things. And this past year, we made a few cutting boards. And as I was studying for this, my mind kept going back to the cutting boards. We use numerous different kinds of wood. And most of the stuff we get is scraps from another wood shop that it's remnant pieces. It's nothing but inch and a half wide, inch thick. By itself, it looks like kindling. But as we take those pieces and we run them through the table saw, we just have a few tools, not all the best, you might say. We run them through the table saw, we get everything as straight as possible. We could be satisfied with that product, just with the table saw, the rippings. But as you put those boards together, as you start taking different types of boards, we use maple and mahogany and walnut and different hardwoods like that. And as you start doing different themes with them, you could take them off the table saw and glue them together, and you'd have a cutting board. But you all know that when you run a table saw, there's chatter marks. It don't give a nice joint. So I don't have a joiner, so we have a planer. So we take the boards and prop them up on edge and run them through. So those edges are completely flat. So when you put them together, it's smooth. There's a tight knit. And I like to think of that as our personality. So many of us have a lot of rough edges. You know, from a distance, we look pretty good. But once people get to know us, you know what? We need some shaping. We take the Word of God and apply it to our life, and we lose some of them rough edges. Then after we have them run through the planer, we actually lay them out on a table. And then we take a little bit of glue. And we apply a thin coat of glue on each edge. Then we lay them over, and then we put them to a clamp, and we clamp them together. And we squeeze them as tight as we can. Because we don't want no voids, no gaps in the finished product. And this all takes a few evenings. We don't work too late or too long. So it takes a couple evenings. And that's how life is so often. Some of these things are rough edges as we work them off. And then we apply God's word to our life. We are a little not sure how it's all going to turn out, but you know what? We just stay close. And that bond, that glue, knits us. You can't take an individual board. You can't just take one board off. I don't like that one anymore. You can't just eliminate it. You can't pull it aside because it's knit together. It became one. I'm told that with that glue, when you clamp and glue them, you can't see the glue anymore. By the way, there's no joint there. It's one. And that's how God's word needs to be hid in each one of us. You can't separate it. I'm told that if you try to break those that joint, you'll split the board before you break the glue. And I like to think of how close God's word is to each one of our heart. You know, you can't take it from us. You can put us under pressure, but we're not let it go. If we have that, we're teaching the next generation to remain steadfast, unmovable. We're not individualistic anymore. There's many times the children sometimes say, I'm too critical with the way they come because I can see where the joint wasn't quite right. Or where the grain's not like the other one was. But is that how we are in our home sometimes? We see this little flaw over here in this one child or in your wife or in your husband. And we see this little split and we just want to focus on it and run our finger in it. And yeah, it's still there. And we drive communication away. God help us. That we stay close to his word. That we allow it first to shape my life. And as I relate with my children and my wife, that glue of God's word knits us tight, that it can't be broken. We can't be separated. The pressures can come in on us. And we're not going to flex with it. Because we're one. We're joined together. So have you allowed God's word to take off your edges? Or are you still trying to hang on to one? Are you trying to hang on to some carnality? If you are, please let it go. It will destroy not only you, but it will also destroy your family. We're trying to build bonding homes. Ones that have God's word alive. One that's affecting our communities. They're reaching out. I know this ain't easy. And the imperfections are there, but let's not focus on them. When we see them, let's help. Let's encourage. Let's ask God for direction, and he will show us how to live. So God bless each of you as you continue to go in and out of your doors. And as the world observes your life, and as they observe the life of your children, that they can see that you were living in Philippians 2 in those first four verses. That there's like-mindedness, that they feel, they see the love, and they see the bond. Because that's something that cannot be bought. God bless you.